Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, we've actually got a veteran that's coming to give us a lesson today. Is that true? David's giving the lesson? Okay. Well, here comes Pastor Brian. We're ready for him. All right, if this is in your way, you can just...
Well, amen. I do thank the veterans for what they've done for us. All those men and women that were willing to sacrifice everything they have for us, people that they don't know. And I think about the young men and women that are fighting today. Most of them will never, ever be known. A lot of them are dying and we never know it. And the families that are willing to let their young men and women go, they're just as important as the kids that go. I say kids because most of them today are kids. And the gravity of what they do, I was thinking, and we were talking about it at work the other day, these young men and women that are in the world today over in the Middle East fighting and doing their thing, they get paid nothing. In the real big scheme of things, when you think about ball players that catch balls or kick a ball, they make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then here we got young men and women that are over living in the dirt, paying a price that some people would never even think about paying, and getting paid peanuts, really, in the big scheme of things. And then you also think about the gravity of what they are doing. One wrong move over there, and they can set the whole world on fire and change our diplomatic footprint in a country because they did something that they shouldn't have done, or their emotions got a hold of them. And I think it's kind of odd that you send somebody to war and they say, okay, you got to play by the rules, when the other team's not playing by the rules. So we go in there, and it's not a pretty thing. War's not pretty. I mean, David can testify about that more than any of us here. It's not a pretty thing. And when people are shooting at you, your first instinct is to shoot back and to take out whoever's trying to take out your friends. So I just say thank you. I mean, we can say thank you all day long to all those men and women that serve today, those men and women that have paid the price so that we can stand today and speak freedom, speak freely in our world today. It's a big blessing. Think about the men of World War II. Most of them are leaving us nowadays because of age. You know, think about what they paid so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have today. I guess you can't say enough about veterans, and they're good people, men and women.
Every day.
Yes. Okay, who can stand a couple of stories from work? You know, I've told you before, the wheels on the truck go, they don't go nowhere. Wheels on the truck go nowhere. So we were a little shorthanded on the truck the other day, so my driver, Jimmy, had to go over and set the seat in the truck. And then one of our firefighters had to go ride backwards on the truck. And they've got a young guy that's on the truck. He was driving the truck. So that morning I go in, they've got the assignments on the board, which he takes care of before I get there. And then in big letters, race day, meaning that today when we go out together, it's a foot race to see who's going to get out of the house first. Okay, so that just sets the stage. And that tells me I can't lollygag. When a call comes, I've got to run because I know these young kids next to me are doing everything they can to beat me. So a call comes in, and it's one of those calls that they dispatch the engine, but normally the truck takes it. So we're not going to let them take this call. This is race day, right? We're not going to let them take the call. So we go running out there, and Jimmy's right in front of me, and I push him out of the way. And I go to get my pants on. Well, JW comes right behind me, and he takes my coat that's hanging on the handle, throws it in the floor. Fortunately, this isn't one of those calls that it's urgent that we get there quickly, because we're just going to drive over there anyway. So they're trying to do everything they can to beat us. I just throw my stuff in the engine, and I say, let's go, 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 go. So we pull out on the pad. We barely got out of the house. Truck gets on the radio. alarm from Truck 401, you can cancel engine 401. Truck 401 will take that call. I'm thinking, they can't do that to me. So the dispatch calls engine 401, did you copy? I said, yes, ma'am, engine 401 copied. We're a lot closer than they are, so we'll just go ahead and make this call. You can cancel the truck. And in reality, we were just really a block away from the station. And it was like that all day long. It was one of these days where if I had to get my clothes on or my turnout gear to get dressed, I just threw them in the engine as fast as I could, jumped in there, closed the door, and I'd get my clothes on as we go. Because I'm the slowest one on the company, so I got to hurry and get in that truck, right? I don't want to be the reason that we failed. Okay. The second story, this one's a little bit funnier. Cindy got a kick out of it. We're going down to Station 2 to pick up some stuff for one of the guys that swing into Station 1. I'm talking to Cindy on my phone, right? So I got my headset on. I got the phone stuck in the headset, and I got this little thing turned up so that I can talk to her and not distract the other two. Cindy and I are just talking, carrying on. And lo and behold, as we're driving this way, we look over, and there's an accident. There's a motorcycle on the ground, a guy under the motorcycle, and chaos ensuing, no police in sight. It's like, oh, man, this just happened. I said, we got to make the call. So there's a little radio button right there. So I reach up. I said, alarm from engine 401. Go ahead. I'm still holding the button, right? And not even thinking about Cindy being right here or not thinking about my finger on the button. And I said, hey, I got to go, baby. I love you. So I ain't paying. I don't know what's happening, right, because I'm just there. So I get back to the station, and the chief comes over, and he said, I sure hope you were talking to your wife. I said, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, I love you too, baby. Goodbye. So I got distracted. That's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. You ever heard of the term squirrel? Squirrel. Think about a dog or a cat, because it's funny, because the other day I came home from work. We got this little cat that runs around the neighborhood. Well, she wasn't paying attention to anything, and she was chasing this squirrel for all she had. And they run right across the road and, you know, easily could have been run over, but they're chasing. And I'm thinking about the dog or the cat that's chasing the squirrel. They're just laying there. They're doing their own thing. They don't care what's going on. And all of a sudden, squirrel pops up, and now everything in this world depends on them catching and eating that squirrel, right? They'll chase that squirrel right up the tree. And the dogs, 9 times out of 10, will just stand there and look at that tree, thinking, please let that squirrel fall out of that tree. Please let that squirrel fall out of that tree. And the squirrel never really falls out of the tree. And eventually they lose interest and they go on back to doing whatever dogs do, right? Well, sometimes I think we are the same way. That we can get distracted by squirrels. Have you ever been doing something and all of a sudden something catches your attention and now you're distracted from what you're doing? It's like I was talking to Cindy. I got distracted by a call over here. I didn't realize I had my finger on the button. And now I'm talking to everybody that's listening on the Fire Channel that I love my wife and see you. I think we do that same thing. We'll get busy doing something. The phone will ring. We have to answer the phone. Or a random thought pops in our head, and it just goes. I find myself a lot of times with random squirrel thoughts going through my head and chasing squirrels all day long. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I put it like this. I don't think I have that up there. I put it like this. I said, be alert and sober-minded, Brian. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking to distract and then devour me. The enemy doesn't just come right up to us head on a lot of times. A lot of times it's just a little something here, a little something there, get our focus off of what we should be focused on, and now he's got us where he wants us. Have you ever been driving down the road and get distracted? Yeah, you know, you're driving, especially if you're driving 4 ways, you got the music playing, and you're in your own little world driving, and or listening to the song and just thinking about the words. Next thing you know, there goes your exit that you should have taken. or, you know, you're in the wrong lane. Now you're going totally different direction than what you should have been going because you were just distracted from your driving. When I was doing this and I wrote it in my notes, you can be distracted by the kids in the back seat going crazy. How many fathers, I know mine did, would have one hand on that steering wheel and was able to drive, and with that other hand could reach around and get Ginger and I, no matter where we're in that back seat, and just start whooping and wailing on whoever got in the way of his hand. That happened to me a lot. Ginger got me in trouble all the time. Or even worse, have you ever been driving and dreaming or look off and see a sign and then you look up and there's a car right in front of you that's big red lights, you know? It's like, one day Cindy and I and the kids, we were coming back from Florida for vacation. Just me and one other car on the road. So I don't know what day it was. It was just nobody out there. It was daytime. And I'm looking off and something catches my eye on the side of the road, and I'm like, man, I wonder what that is. Oh, that's pretty cool. And I look up, and there's a car right there, and I'm going 80 mile an hour down this road, and it was one of those, you know, get back, scared Cindy to death. The kids are now wide awake, you know, and I'm like, yeah, yeah. It was no problem. I had control of the whole time, baby. It was no big deal. And inside, I'm going crazy because I'm nervous as all get out. But I got distracted and wasn't paying attention to what I was doing on the road. Well, I think we have spiritual distractions just as well. There are those things that can hinder us from being in a place where we need to be. Have you ever just sit down and said, okay, I'm going to pray, or I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do this right now. This is when I'm going to do it. And you set your Bible down, or you get your chair, or you kneel down, whatever you're going to do, and start to pray. And it seems like at that one moment in time that everybody you know that has a phone is calling you. It's either making noise, it's lighting up. Everybody wants to talk to you. Or everybody in the neighborhood that is selling something or can come by your door is knocking on your door, ringing your doorbell. Or if you got one of those little cameras, that little thing is going off. Our camera will go off when the sun's shining and the trees are moving. It'll constantly be alerting you that somebody's at your door. And it's got to the point, at certain points of the day, we just ignore it. You know, somebody could be breaking in the house. Yeah, it's just the trees blowing. But when we purposefully do something like that, everything wants to consume and take our time. And if it isn't an outside stimulus that's taking your time, how many of us know that we have a mind that never quits running? I can be reading and studying or praying, and something pops in my head, and now I'm chasing that thought all along the road, and I get finished reading whatever I'm reading, and I realize I don't know what I just read. I'm just reading words, looking at words on a paper, and my mind is over here chasing something else over here. Or I'm praying, and I'll be praying for someone, and the next thing you know, I'm thinking about, oh yeah, they did this or they did that, you know, and now my mind is got off of praying, and I'm doing whatever, thinking in my head that's keeping me from praying for these folk. So we don't need an outside stimulus to distract us. A lot of times we can be our own worst enemies at distracting ourselves. And today I think it's pretty obvious that we have a lot of distractions that can distract us in this world. The list is long. I know COVID-19, that can be a big distraction for people because we're worried and concerned about what it's going on. The election, that's a big one for us here today, you know. This thing can't be resolved one way or the other for probably another couple, 3 weeks. So that can distract us because our mind is thinking about that mess. What's going to happen to our nation, no matter who gets to be the president of the United States? What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen in the world? That was another thing we were talking about at work. It doesn't matter who gets in. What is the world going to look like with this person there? And it's just like that can get us way off track, and now we're chasing rabbits that way. Not rabbits, squirrels. We don't chase rabbits. Other things that can be distraction to us are hobbies. I enjoy doing some stuff with my hands, and if I don't make something else, if I don't make praying and reading my Bible the priority. I can sit down at the kitchen table. This is not even an exaggeration. I can sit down at the kitchen table. I can play with my stuff. And then I have to get up because it's time to fix Cindy something for supper. I can sit there all day long, TV, no TV, and just mess with this stuff all day long. I catch myself a lot of times looking at the Facebook all the time. You know, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm just scrolling through there and seeing what's going on. Those are distractions that can distract me. Family can be a distraction to us. If we've got kids that aren't doing right, that can really distract us, wondering about what they're doing. You know, Caleb, right, in the Marines, he could be a distraction because all you're thinking about, oh, I hope my baby's being safe. I hope they're not yelling at him today, you know. Rita told me earlier, she said, they're going to get the kid out of him or something, baby out of him. I said, Rita, it's probably already gone. That boy's done been corrupted or heard the world's corruption already, you know. But stuff like that can become a distraction to us. Now, are those bad things in and of themselves? No, there's nothing wrong with having a hobby. There's nothing wrong with looking at the Facebook all day long. Well, there is that, but nothing look at the Facebook or worrying about our kids. But when they become wrong to us or they start consuming all of our time, then they become an issue. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here's the important part. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We have to take our thoughts, we have to take the things that we do captive. Because if we don't, they will become our captor. When those things become more important than God, what are they? They become an idol to us. They become our God. If doing something is more important than doing what you should be for the Lord, or that particular thing takes the place of the Lord, then it becomes an idol to you, and you start worshiping it. And eventually, if you start doing these things and you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying, those little things that are not bad in and of themselves begin to just eat away at your time. They become the thing that keeps you captive. And the enemy uses that. The enemy knows what makes you tick. And eventually, you're going to find yourself, you're going to wake up one day and you won't know anything about God at all. Because you've given everything that you have to this simple little thing. And that's where I think the devil's really tricky. Because if you put something really bad out in front of you, it's like the garden. If he had put a nasty old rotten, I'm going to say apple because we're familiar with that, just a nasty old apple out there or something that just doesn't look good, that may not have caught Eve's attention that day because it wasn't pleasing to the eye. But he'll put something that's really not bad. He put something that's not going to hurt you, you know. Looking at Facebook's not going to hurt you. You know, doing your little hobby thing, that's not going to hurt you. And eventually you're going to start doing that and doing that. And now he has placed something in your life that is more important than what it should be. There's a sign on the way to work. There's another thing There's another thing that being distracted can do is it can cause us to fear. Like I said, with the COVID stuff and with the presidential election stuff, it can distract you and cause fear in your heart and in your lives. When I go to work and when I come home, the same way. I don't know if you guys will know where that Daystar station's at over in, I don't know what city that is right there. They got a big thing out there and it says, faith is greater than fear. If we have good faith, it doesn't matter what's going on in this world. It doesn't matter what it is that you could fear about because my faith is better or stronger. I don't have to fear that thing. John 14 and 27 says, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Jesus said, I'm giving you my peace. It's not the peace that as the world would give, but do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. We don't have to be afraid when we have the peace of God in our minds and our thoughts. And then we all know the Psalms 23 and 4 says, even though I walk through the valley that's darkest, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So even in the middle of a bad situation, we don't have to fear because our God is with us. So let me give you three things. I wrote down towers, but three things to guard. We need to guard our heart. First and foremost, I believe, we need to guard our heart. In Matthew, Jesus points out that whatever we have in our hearts is what we treasure the most. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Whatever we're treasuring, and that's a good measure to measure yourself. What is the most important thing in my life today? What is it that I would consider the number one thing that I treasure the most? And if it isn't God, that's not a good thing, because that's what's in our heart. For out of the heart, right, we speaketh, but out of the heart is where we store up the treasures of our lives. So we need to guard our hearts. We need to consider God the most important and most precious thing in our lives. We need to consider that relationship with Him more important than the relationship with we have our husband and wives. That's kind of tough, isn't it? Our children. He needs to be more important than anything else in this world. And if He's not, then something else is taking His place. We don't want God to be second or third in our lives. I mean, I'm guilty of that at times. You know, I put something else before the Lord, and it's not a good thing. And then I find myself in a spot where, oh, man, I'm not where I should be. And I have to just push the reset button. They say reset the clock thing at work thing. It's like we wipe out what was in the past. Now we move forward. But we need to guard our hearts. The second thing we can guard is our desires. What are your deepest desires today? If you were given the opportunity to get anything you wanted, the desire of your heart would be given to you. What would it be? And that can be really telling of what it is. Our desires are kind of like appetites. Well, let me read that scripture because I believe those things are going on through real quick. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Our desires are like appetites. Our appetites can be ferocious at times, right? We can eat whatever we want. Well, in theory, that's what we tell ourselves. We can eat whatever we want. We get hungry. What do? We eat. I know that there are times I can feel my sugar getting a little low. And if I haven't eaten, then I eat everything that's in the pantry. You know, I've even taken macaroni before and crunched that stuff up and eat that stuff. It's like a lion that's looking for something to eat or a bear that's looking for something to eat. I'll eat whatever's not tied down to the house. But I have to control that, right? I love sweets. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I love sweets. I can eat sweets all day long, get sick on sweets. But if I don't control that desire, then I'll be really Fat Brian instead of Brian. I'll be Fat Brian then. Off of that subject, when I got my, I lost a lot of weight. You guys know me. I was knocking on about 290 at one point. I got down into the 30s. That's where I'm about right now. I'm in the 30s. So anyway, I go to work and I say, hey, I need some new britches because these britches I got are falling off of me. And I'm, you know, I got the belt strapped down and it just looks bad. One of the other lieutenants, one of my really good buddies, one of the guys that really motivates people, he said, don't throw away your big boy pants. You may need them again. Well, thank you for that vote of confidence. But our desires are like our appetites. We can control them. Now, is it easy to go on a diet? No, it's never easy to go on a diet because we see it is, if it's like the other stuff. When you go on a diet, everything you want to eat is right in front of you. And it just makes it really hard not to eat that stuff that's right in front of you. But we know, hey, I can't have that. Because if I do, you know, it's going to make me fat. I don't want to be fat. Third thing we can guard is our time. I think time is more important. Well, is just as important as our heart. Because if we guard our time and we say, I'm going to make time for this, then we're making that a priority of our desires, one, right? And we're making it a heart issue because I know that if I don't make time for it, my heart's not going to be right. We need to make our time and our priority on time. A lot of times when I'm at work or even home times, if I got a lot of stuff to do, I'll get me a piece of paper out and I'll just write, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then I go through the day and there are some things I can knock off first down here. Then I go up there, you know, systematically knock them all out. And then there are other times when at work, we have to say, okay, if we don't get nothing else done today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to train. We don't get the kitchen clean, we're going to train. Okay, so training is number one. Number two, clean the kitchen. You know, we make a list of the things we want to do, and I tell Jimmy, look, put it in a priority so that when we start erasing this stuff, we're getting the top stuff done first and then whatever's last. You know, hey, it's no big deal. We'll get it done another day. If we don't put God first and we don't place Him at the top of the to-do list, then a lot of times we're going to do number two and number three and number four. Oh, yeah, I got to go back and get number one knocked out. It's a big thing for me, especially on Sundays when I work, because usually on Sundays when I work, I usually take something to keep my mind busy, because Sundays is one of those days we don't do nothing but make calls. So if I take something to work that I really want to do that day and I really look forward to it, if I don't put it aside and get out my Bible and start reading and make my prayer time and my Bible reading time the priority, then at the end of the day and now I'm tired, yeah, I got my thing done, but I'm tired, it'll be okay. I'll read tomorrow morning twice as much. And then the next thing I know, I'm reading 10 times as much because I haven't done it. I haven't made it a priority of my life. So we need to really control our time. We need to take control of it. Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When we're seeking Him first and putting Him first in our lives, then we'll find that, hey, those little things, they're meaningless to me now. Or I don't think God wants to make us where we're not having fun. You know, these guys enjoy playing golf. They're good at it, not me. Doesn't mean that they can't play golf because they got to, you know, because they got to put God first. They put God first, and then they can enjoy life. So when we put God first, we'll find that all these other little bitty things, either they will become meaningless to us, or it's okay. We'll knock some of this stuff out too, and I'm going to be happy at the end of the day because I've put God first. So let's guard our hearts. Let's guard our desires, and let's guard our time. If we do these three things, then the little things that can distract us, the squirrels in our lives, will just be squirrels. They're nothing that really distracts us and keeps us from what we need to do in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve.